We will start this November 20th meeting, and if everyone would stand and face the flag, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Zach, would you offer a prayer for us?
Sure. Bow. Lord, we come to you tonight just thankful for the opportunity we have to get together and to discuss the important business that we have before us. We're thankful that everyone is able to make it here safely tonight, and we hope that you will bless our meeting with guidance and wisdom so that we can make the right decisions for the right reasons. Bless us and keep us and forgive us when we do wrong. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. We have the Girl Scouts with us tonight. We're so honored to have you guys. They are troop number 357, and they're the junior high. Their leaders are Sarah Andrus and Kara Driver. Thank you all for coming. They're here trying to earn their local government
legacy badge.
Okay, so they came to observe government in action, so basically.
Yes.
If you have any questions at all during these proceedings tonight, just stop and ask us. Okay, and I don't think we have any citizens. No. So, Ben, did you have anything? Okay. We have some
oil. Surprise.
You'll probably save that not for Friday, but probably will you. Will you have your meeting Friday?
Did you say?
The partnership meeting, will you have it on
no,
Friday?
No, we do not.
You don't have
we
it, okay.
This week.
Okay. So we'll move on to our ordinances. We have a first reading of an investment policy. And Zach, will you explain a little bit about what we're doing there?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. The city of Benton, way back in 1995, passed an investment policy that limits and regulates the types of investments and deposits the city can use. Obviously, since we've got taxpayer money up here, we want to make sure that we protect that and we're not speculating in the market and losing taxpayers' money because of bad investments. So the types of investments that the city can make according to the state and according to our own investment policy, which goes farther than the state's policy, is very restrictive. And there's also certain provisions about custody and safekeeping of those types of investments, so that we make sure that those things are tracked appropriately. Now we know where things are and that they're safe and secure, and we're not putting those things at risk. In the process of going through this, there's been a couple of situations recently that we've dealt with regard to money that's been donated, money that we're trying to invest, safekeep, and part of the process here is that the investment policy requires the city to determine kind of the cash flow needs, when we're going to need money, how long we need to have certain types of investments, and so on and so forth. Well, a lot's changed since 1995, and some of the things need to be modernized, and some of the things need to be corrected. Recently, the thing that really is the key point of this particular amendment is some issues about collateralization. And there's a conflict in our ordinance that says, in about three or four different places, that our deposits have to be either insured by the FDIC, just like banks are, bank deposits are, or they have to be collateralized to the extent they're not insured. So anybody keeping our investments has to post their own property, their own assets, in case something happens and we lose that deposit. They post collateral for us to use to make sure that the taxpayers are in the same position. There's one particular section of the ordinance that contradicts those sections that says all cash and cash equivalents have to be collateralized. Well, under the state policy, under the stated purpose and the legislative intent of our investment policy, and under about three other sections, it's either they have to be insured or collateralized. So as we're trying to get certain types of investments, and specifically what we're talking about is certificates of deposit. I mean, simple, safe investments at a decent interest rate compared to the market right now that we're trying to take advantage of. The institutions we're trying to use looked at our policy and said, wait a second, this says all investments have to be collateralized. So that would require banks or investment firms to post their own security, to offer their own assets to protect our investments. And they're saying these things are going to be fully insured. I mean, the FDIC is going to insure 100% of the value of these things, so collateralization isn't necessary. So the gist of this is that we're amending that section to state that the collateralization is only to the extent that it's not insured by the federal government. The federal government will insure up to $250,000 of any investment at each financial institution. So the only thing that we're having to do here is to say, as long as that's insured, no collateralization is necessary. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any investments or deposits will continue to be fully protected, either insured or, to the extent uninsured, fully collateralized. So with that, this is the first reading of an ordinance amending the City of Benton's investment policy, and this ordinance is summarized as follows. Section 3354A of the City of Benton's investment policy is amended and modernized to state that all cash and investments maintained in any financial institution shall be insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or collateralized to the extent uninsured. All other portions of the city's investment policy shall remain unchanged. And one thing I forgot to say is that one of the reasons that this, I feel like this is appropriate and still safeguards our money, is because the FDIC limits have gone up. They went from $100,000 to $250,000. Mm-hmm. So collateralization, might have been necessary with the amount of some of our deposits, because the FDIC might not have covered the full amount of them. But under the current limits of $250,000, this is still, and being phrased in the alternative, mm-hmm. still adequate protection for our investments and deposits. Okay?
Is there any questions there? Does everybody understands what we're doing here completely? Okay.
All right, well, that was just the first reading.
Okay. Then to move on, we have the first reading of the street regulation amendment.
Yeah, this is an issue that Lois and I have talked about a little bit, and we're still kind of in the process of brainstorming whether this is necessary. But you may recall, due to the situation over in the Fairway subdivision, we updated our subdivision regulations specifically on the street specifications, modernized that with some engineering language and things to make sure that the streets that we adopted in the city aren't going to fall apart on us. There is one provision in that, because those types of subdivision developments are approved through the Planning and Zoning Commission, there was a provision on that that required the Planning Commission to, let me make sure I get this right, to require in those plans and plats the profiles and elevations of the streets to determine the advisability of the permitting and the proposed subdivision activity for floodplain reasons. So Lois made the point that the Planning and Zoning Commission isn't trained in the floodplain issues. She is. Lois is our Planning and Zoning Administrator and our Floodplain Administrator. So she feels like that the Planning and Zoning Administrator, in her capacity as kind of the person who sits in that office and gets that training, should be approving of this. My thought is the plats and the plans have to be signed by the Planning Commission. So Lois and I are going to talk about that and see if whether she feels like it's necessary, but just to get this moving, I felt like it was okay to go ahead and have a first reading, because it is a simple change there. This is an ordinance amending the City of Benton's updated subdivision regulations. This ordinance is summarized as follows. Section 30208C is amended to reflect that the Planning and Zoning Administrator shall require profiles and elevations of streets in order to determine the advisability of permitting the proposed subdivision activity. All other provisions in the city's updated subdivision regulations shall remain unchanged. Again, just that simple change there from the commission to the administrator herself. And at next month's meeting, maybe either Lois and I will figure it out, or we'll just come find it up in here.
Good luck on that.
I want to see.
Yeah, well, I know who I'd put my money on.
Yeah, it feels like good luck.
Yeah.
Okay. We need the second reading of the brush pickup amendment.
Okay. This is an ordinance amending the property maintenance code for the City of Benton to reduce the diameter of logs to be picked up by the city. This ordinance is summarized as follows. An ordinance amending the property maintenance code to state that the City of Benton shall not pick up logs from property owners with a diameter of more than 6 inches. As you may recall, the original brush ordinance there said it's going to be 10 inches, and the guy said 10 inches is a pretty heavy log, so they're asked to move it down to 6. So this is...
We're just trying to get to the point where we don't have to take our backhoe out every time we pick up a brush pile. So it's stuff that the guys can pick up by hand.
So with this being the second reading, we can entertain a motion to vote on this ordinance.
Can we get a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second.
Any further discussion, questions about this? If not, we'll take a vote. Charlie Edmonds?
Yes.
Justin Lamb?
Yes.
Stanley Holland?
Yes.
Rita Murray?
Yes.
Cheryl Riley?
Yes.
And Chris Smith-Meyer. Okay, motion passes.
Jeremy is applying for a grant through, is it through the state police, Jeremy?
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security, yeah.
Okay. And is it for body cameras, ammo, and weapons?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Our body cameras are part of a set.
Okay.
But it's for the body camera part of that.
Okay. And we have to do a resolution to be able to apply for that grant, which I will read to you. A resolution of the City of Benton, Kentucky, authorizing the mayor to make application for and upon approval to enter into an agreement with the Kentucky Office of Homeland Security and (KOHS) to execute any documents which are deemed necessary by KOHS to facilitate and administer the project and to act as the authorized correspondent for this project. This resolution also establishes procurement policy for any KOHS approved project for the fiscal year 2017 application cycle. Whereas the City of Benton, Kentucky desires to make an application for United States Department of Homeland Security and or Commonwealth of Kentucky funds for a project to be administered by Kentucky Office of Homeland Security. Whereas it is recognized that an application for and approval of Kentucky Office of Homeland Security funds impose certain obligations and responsibilities upon the city. Now, therefore, be it resolved this 20th day of November 2017 by the City of Benton, Kentucky, the mayor is hereby authorized to execute and furnish all required documentation, including a memorandum of agreement as may be required by KOHS for the furtherance of the above referenced project and to act as the authorized correspondent for said project. For the purpose of any KOHS-funded projects using fiscal year 2017 funds, the city will use the provisions of KRS 45A for the purchase of equipment and or services. For any equipment and or services under $20,000, three quotes will be obtained. For any equipment and or services that exceed $20,000, the provisions of KRS 45A will apply. Done this 20th day of November 2017 on a motion made by. So could I get a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. No problem.
Second. Okay. All in favor? Is anyone opposed? Motion passes. Okay. I don't know if any of you have noticed out here, we finished the building completely except for putting the letters back on, and I think they're coming tomorrow to finish that part of it. We should be completely done with it at that point. We've done some minor landscaping just to get rid of some old dead bushes, do some trimming up, and we planted a few small items in that place. We're going to have to move a little bit of money around because we didn't have enough. We did not budget enough to do any kind of landscaping. So I'm asking permission to move, was it
2,650 from the general fund reserve account to the beautification and landscaping account.
And that took care of pretty much, and we put some of those rainbow rocks where we could. They're very expensive, so we're just going to try to do some at a time, maybe do some more in the spring. Hopefully maybe even finish it up in the spring when we do our new budget. We might be able to budget enough to do all that. So could I get a motion to move that fund?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Is there anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes.
I'll say this, it really looks nice. I've got a lot of compliments from people in town.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
When they started with that color, I went, ugh. I don't think I'm going to like it, but when it was against the gray, it looked awful, but I think it's fresh and it's pretty and it's bright. I really do like it.
I take back what I said about the bench.
The color?
Yeah, I think it needs some paint.
Mike actually got it and took it to paint it today.
Oh, so good. Because I thought, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, Beth called him and got it. Now, is the same color good, do you think?
Whatever.
She doesn't like the color. Well, what do you think? Have you started painting it yet? No?
Have you bought the paint?
Yeah, we can always use it anywhere. You let me know what color you want it, that's what it'll
well,
be.
Well, I drove by and I was like, ooh, I don't think I like that.
What color are you thinking? Give us a color.
Probably black.
Black or bright red or what do you guys think?
Hey, listen,
Jeremy, what's your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I would just leave it up to him, and it'll look better painted any color. But when
it
I saw
really
it, I was like, oh,
"Yes, yeah."
I just changed my mind.
It definitely needed to be painted. It was pretty pitiful. So, thank you all for approving that fun movement. Police report next, Jeremy.
Sure. For October 2017, we had 20 case reports. Three for a theft by unlawful take home shoplifting, one for a degree of theft by unlawful under $500, one for a theft by unlawful taking over $500 shoplifting again, one for theft by unlawful taking over, which is an automobile, one burglary second degree, one DUI, one assault third degree, one assault fourth degree, which is domestic violence, two for possession of marijuana, two possession of drug paraphernalia, one possession of controlled substance, methamphetamine. One disorderly conduct, one fleeing evading police in a vehicle, and three criminal mischief, first degree. The automobile was our automobile. 22 collisions, all those were for non-injury, just property damage. We issued 42 citations, 14 of those for traffic, 28 for criminal violations answered. 478 calls for service. Well, there are some other charges that aren't shown on there. That's partially due because Nick's car was wrecked, so he didn't have his computer and stuff, so he couldn't type in the citations, which goes to the state system. That's how I get the print off. So just the handwritten stuff had another charge for assault third, disorderly conduct, alcohol intoxication, dangerous self or others, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of a container, possession of alcohol by a minor or someone under 21, one speeding, 16 mile an hour and over, one expired license, an operating on suspended, another shoplifting, criminal trespass third, start two bench warrants, one fugitive from another state. That's it.
Anybody have any questions on that? Sounds like you've been pretty busy.
It was a little busier. Yeah. Our cases are up from last year. So our numbers are up.
What do you think the reason for that is? Do you think it's the drug problem?
I don't know. It could be anything from population to drug problem to people just don't have funds for stuff. Skip stuff. It's all kinds of different reasons.
Okay, can I bring something up while he's on?
Absolutely.
I live at 18th and Park, and the traffic that goes through there, the speed limit is 25, and I swear I think people are doing like 50 coming down through there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the streets like that run with Park, mm-hmm. is there any reason why they don't have some stop signs going up 18th and up 20th? Because I'm honestly afraid that somebody's going to get, people are always walking down Park there to go to the park, and I'm honestly afraid somebody's going to get hit. We've got some young gentlemen that live up the top of the hill from us, and they just got their driver's license, so you know how that is.
I
get the left foot. I mean, I don't like the idea of having a stop sign by my house because it's going to be a nuisance for me, but then again, or not a nuisance, but...
But it'll stop.
But it'll stop and slow that traffic down drastically, and I don't know if all the streets down there need a stop sign, but I think they need to be evaluated.
18th,
you're talking about 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st.
Yeah, 21st, 21st, you know. Right.
It doesn't go through, but 18th, 19th, and 20th go all the way through the park.
Because they hot foot it from 641 or whatever, all the way down to Poplar there. So and it's just a big concern for me.
What do you guys think about that? What are y'all's thoughts on putting up stop signs there?
That's where all the intersections come, so you could make it a four-way stop.
Yeah, they have to stop coming down through the park as it is. Mm-hmm. But sometimes even the trees and so forth.
Yeah, but you made it all those intersections because there's four of them that come together.
Yeah.
And that way,
it slowed down
the traffic. I would be for a four-way stop down through there on all those streets.
Yeah.
Because it slows the traffic down.
Yeah.
Because it does help slow down. I know what you're talking about. We experienced a lot of that in Marywood.
Yeah.
They make that last S curve and they think they're going to the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee if Jeremy sat there, he could take it one after another, and I probably won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's an accident waiting to happen.
By doing the four-way stop, everybody has to stop, so you're not having people run a stop sign that they're used to not being a stop sign. If everybody has to stop, it would be a safety issue to help out.
And a lot of people, people that don't know those streets, automatically mm-hmm. stop anyway.
Yeah.
Out of force of habit, the way it's laid out. Mm-hmm. So I just need to look at it and just, I need to say something for a while now about it.
Jeremy, what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good idea. If there's a lot of people that walk that area, that walk to the park back and forth, I think it would be a safety issue that it'd be better to have stop signs on.
Isn't there some? We put one up down here on Birch Street, and we had a bunch of people running it for a long time down here by the Western Road. Mm-hmm. But wasn't there some administrative things we had to do to get permission to put a stop sign up in town?
Not if it's not a state street. It should be up to you all totally.
It's just
yeah, would be more up to the council and mayor decision unless it's a state street or a county. Of course, we don't have any county roads anyway.
There's people with walking dogs and they're walking their kids with, you know.
There is, and those streets are narrow.
Yes.
What you guys think?
Sounds pretty good to me. I think some people will run it for a long time, bro.
Yeah,
well,
that's why I say if you make it four-way stop, then.
We can do it the same way. They put one up here on all this. We watched it and kind of just got some warnings for whatever you should have been there.
I ran it the other day. I forgot.
You're the one we're looking for.
Then you need a motion to make those four-way stops?
I don't think we'd necessarily have to do a motion of any sort. I think just so you all are in agreement and we have it in minutes that it's...
We'd sure feel bad if someone was hurt or killed and we hadn't done it. They'll probably be liable after bringing it up and not going.
Probably. Nice GM.
I thought they'd always needed one over there coming back from the exceptional school. There were.
That's kind of a bad spot.
I mean,
it's a really blind spot.
It's not as bad because it's not much traffic, but it's so bad because you have to almost stop and turn around your seat to look back.
It's scary.
Yeah.
I always go, you know that house is right there in the center?
Yeah.
I always go off to the right because you can see better instead of going to the left. Right.
But that could be, we talked about this, I think Charlie, you might have brought it up a lot.
Forward. I don't know
last year.
They decided not to put one.
Tracy didn't want that there, I don't remember what the reason saying then.
But we talked then about making that a four-way stop and he was going to go out and check it. I personally never heard anything else out of it.
He did talk to me. He didn't recommend doing it.
And a lot of people go
about it. A lot of people have said that they'd like to have that four-way stop.
Yeah.
It slows that traffic down.
And but I know there's not much traffic coming from the exception.
Right.
But if there is, you know, then you just don't look or something.
Right.
Make you hit.
Yeah, I know. You have to be very, very cautious.
Yeah.
Because you're having to watch all four ways because cars could be entering that intersection, three different ways plus the way you're setting.
Yeah.
And you're having to go like this to make sure somebody didn't pop through one of those. So I think it needs...
Do you want to take another look at it and see what you think, Jeremy?
I understand what he's saying. He doesn't want one. I wouldn't want one coming off of Old Level Road.
Oh, no.
Because I mean, it's immediately like you're merging over, and also there'd be a stop sign. So I wouldn't put a four-way there because you'll have rear end collisions right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may put a stop sign on ones coming from the exceptional center coming back, but then stop at Ash Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And just make that one stop, and that way, that's how we have to look back.
Yeah, that's the one that if you look left, there could be one there every time you could get back, just pull out. That's the worst one coming from the exceptional school up to the intersection.
That'd be the main one.
Yeah, that'd be the only one I'd put a stop sign, I wouldn't.
If you take a look at that, and then you could tell Beth, and she can email the council what your recommendations would be on that. Okay, thank you. All right, could I get a motion to pay the payroll invoices?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed to that? Good. Could I get a motion to approve the regular minutes of 10/16/17?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, then we'll move on to mayor and council items. I've got just a few things I want to go over, and it will take me but a minute. We have a new maintenance supervisor. I sent all of you all an email, and it's Mike Oliver. He's sitting right here in the audience. And I'll get you all Mike's contact info in case you were to need him for anything. He's amazing. He's Johnny on the spot. He's already showing his colors out there. He's really doing a fabulous job. Today's a week. One week today. So we welcome you and thankful
to have
you.
Glad to be here. So might be of service.
Mike is retired from the state, so he has lots and lots of road experience, and that's something that will be valuable to us. The walking bridge on Main Street that was ran over by a car about a month ago is complete, except for a sealer. And the builder recommended that it sit for 30 days before we put the sealer on. So that's all we like on that. We got the property purchased behind the fire department. That's all done. The paperwork signed. Zach took that through the court system and handled all that himself and did a fabulous job on it. The disc golf is complete in the park. I've got an ABC report that I wanted to talk to you all about. Our 2016 through 17 revenues, up until the 1st of January, is that correct, on 17?
Those were through June 30th.
Okay, through June 30th of 17. Our revenues for the ABC money was $101,478.20. Our expenses were $55,543.07. And I want to tell you a little bit about where that money went. ABC salary, Beth, is paid $100 a month to take care of all the bookwork and the taxes and all of that. We purchased a 2017 Ford Explorer that, did Dick get that one?
No, or Stephen.
Stephen,
just got the one.
Okay. We equipped that Explorer. We did a bond renewal. We all have to be bonded to do the ABC. Police department got a copier. Beth got a color printer and a toner because she prints out all the colored ABC license. We got some radar guns. How many did we get, Jeremy? Do you remember? Was it three?
I can't remember what they bought.
Okay. Some flashbangs for SWAT, and I don't know what a flashbang is. Do you?
It has a flashbang.
I kind of figured that.
Oh, and that's what they just went into a room or something like that, and it's dark. They throw that in there, everybody hears it and looks, and it goes boom, and then that kind of...
And it distracts them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of overstimulates their senses, and they don't know what's going on, so they might just say...
Boy, that would be good if people were armed with those, like these shootings, that somebody's coming in, if you could throw one of those out.
We've got them.
And then we also purchased three radio headsets for the SWAT. Used to, they would have to use their hands and talk. Is that correct, Jeremy?
They went from throat mics to ear mics to, now they've got a good one.
And you don't have to push buttons. Who all do we have in the SWAT team?
William Treadway, Stephen Sanderson, and Nick Spears.
Okay. All right, and then from July, or I guess August 1st,
through the end of October.
Okay, through the end of October. So we've got one more quarter to go, which is, as a rule, the biggest quarter, isn't it, with the holidays?
I don't know yet. We haven't really had enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is our first one.
So our revenue so far from that is $62,569.68. Our expenses was $86,327.33, which we pulled some of the money from last year's revenues. With that, again, the ABC salary, another 17 Ford Explorer, equipped the Explorer, bond renewal, 8 tasers with cartridges. If any of you all want to check that out to see, has anybody ever been tased? If any of you want to check that out, Jeremy has volunteered. We bought some new laptops that go in the vehicles and the docking stations that go with them. We bought some body cameras, which in this day and time is very, very important for officers to wear the body cameras. And we got some in-car cameras and 4 video cameras for the park. We're having major problems at the park, just major problems. So a lot of destruction. About as quick as you fix something, it gets torn up again. They still are... fire extinguishers, they've done some damage up at the community building.
Yeah, just about once a year, one of the concession stands get broken into.
And I think both of them have gotten broken into recently, yeah. Haven't they? So it's hard. You spend a lot of taxpayer money trying to keep the vandalism fixed. So we're going to put 4 video cameras in the park, and we're hoping that that will cover a lot of things. We actually ended up closing the community building at noon this summer because some of the kids would leave the swimming pool because it opened at noon, and they might go and check in at the pool and leave, and they'd go to the community building, and then we had destruction. So we try to leave it open from 7 a.m. to noon for the walkers because we have a lot of people that go walk. And then we try to lock it just to keep some of the vandalism down.
I got a couple of calls on that. Not liking the fact they couldn't get in there like at 3 o'clock to walk. Some of them thought at 3, I guess. I didn't know it did.
Okay.
I had a couple of phone calls on it.
Okay.
But if we're having to do it for that reason, there's not anything to do about it.
The big thing, Butch, was probably that... it was during pool season. I don't know if and this was a park board decision. We left it up to the park board. We might go back now that the pool's closed, but what scares me is when school gets out at 3. You know what?
No, if it's for safety and security, then I wouldn't worry about it.
But if it's somebody that can't go before then, let me know and we'll try to make arrangements. Because I don't want anybody to miss out on walking if we can do anything different. So, okay, the next thing, City Hall's complete. I told you all that. Well, the only thing other than the letters is we're working on all the outside lights trying to get them to work, and we're having a hard time figuring that out, but I have no doubt that Steve Mathis will get that done. We are going to begin working on a 5-year comprehensive plan for the city, things that we would like to see accomplished in the next 5 years. Our first meeting for that is December the 4th at 9 o'clock here in the council room. I have got together a committee from middle school on up. I've tried to incorporate a large variety of people that would have ideas, walking trails, bicycle paths. I've been in contact with the state. They feel like that we can get some substantial funding for bike paths and sidewalks, but we have to have a plan. They won't even look at us until we come up with a plan. I'm hoping all of you as a council will attend as many of these meetings as you possibly can, because your contribution will be invaluable to this.
Would that affect sunshine law?
Yes, I will be sending out agendas and to the press, and yes, absolutely, and we would love for you all to be there as well. And we've got several in the city that's on that committee. I'm hoping that Jeremy will be able to attend a lot of them, and I believe you're on that committee. So I've really gave it a lot of thought. It's taken me a long, long time to put it all together, because I wanted to really choose wisely who could make the biggest contributions to it. So anyway, we will get started on that. Be thinking about it. I've tried to jot down some things that I think will need to be addressed in the next 5 years. And as we're doing that, we can work on trying to get extra funding to do some of these things that we need to do. So Dickens is December 9th. Don't forget it. The parade starts at 5:30.
The activities start at 2:30.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. The activities start at 2:30. Cookies with Santa at 2:30. And then I think what you're doing now is taking Santa to Puckett's building.
The toy shop will be in where Kennedy's used to be.
Yes, it's going to be a toy shop and the whole works, so it's going to be really neat. And then the alley at 2, is that correct?
4
for the alley. Glad you know that right now. Anyway, don't forget that. We're going to have a big time mural meeting 2 weeks ago. We had an artist show up by the name of Rob Estes, and his uncle did a lot of old paintings. Justin, you provided me with some of those that I still haven't gotten framed. What was his name? Stephen Estes, and some of you all might be familiar with him. Rob said that a 200 square foot mural, and that's 10 foot by 20 foot, would run between $7,000 to $10,000, depending upon the detail of the painting. Because, of course, more detail takes more paint, takes more time, so it just depends upon what we come up with. Wendy Baxter came, and we wanted her present to talk about obtaining a grant. She said that her administration fee to write a grant would be between 1.5% to 2%. And she thinks she might already have an outlet to get us a grant. But it's going to be more incorporated into the 5-year plan, because they won't hardly write you a grant just for a mural, but if you show that you're trying to make upgrades in the rest of the city, then they will write you a pretty nice little grant. So we're hoping to get that done. Think we're meeting, can anybody remember when we're meeting again? I didn't write that down. Is it 2 weeks? I will send out an agenda to everybody and let you know that. And then the only other thing is, which I would ask you to do a review on it for the Benton Electric. Kind of update us on that.
All right.
Yeah, please.
Anyway, the required Benton Electric system, like the city itself, it's an annual report done for ending June 30, 2017. They also get an audit report. Both of these are delivered to the mayor's office because legally that's what's supposed to happen. And she has reviewed these, and I have too. Basically, they're available for you to. They're about 8 pages in this one in her office if you want to read them and the whole thing. They're available there. But basically, it says that they complied with all the Tennessee Valley Authority accounting procedures, and there were no major discrepancies in any of their bookkeeping. That's what the annual report shows. Now, the audit report, on the financial end of it, they ended that period with $1,337,000 in cash and equivalents. And that sounds like a lot of money to have on hand, but we have dispersed quite a bit of money this year down there for a new truck, which hadn't been delivered yet. And we started systematically replacing circuit breakers, these big, large circuit breakers, to save us from having a big outage and a power outage in the future. So we're trying to get ahead of the curve there. We've got 4 of these things ordered, and they're coming in one every 5 or 6 months, and they're like $200,000 a piece. So the audit report looks good, and the mayor's reviewed it too. They had that cash on hand, and for the operating period here, June 30th, they ended up with $213,610 net income to go back into the bank on top of this. And besides the, these are available in her office or down there in the one under public records. Mm-hmm. Kim Ham did the CPA, did that one. And just another little sideline or two there, they structure down there has changed a little bit. We've got Kent Rudd was promoted, and now he attends the board meetings with us, which has been really good because now we've got a guy from the field that's talking to the other employees daily when we get input from them if there's a problem. And in my opinion, now the books look good and it looks like it's a pretty smooth operation right now.
They're sitting well.
And I think, did you bring it up last time? I think they agreed to give us some money on the...
On the Dickens slides.
Yeah.
You already got it? Good.
Pairs and TBS.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
That's all.
And Michael Forrest, would you have a meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about the electric? Have they discussed any about putting those new type meters?
Yeah, it's going back and forth on that. There's some pros and cons on those things.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of places like them, a lot of places hate them.
Yeah, it's not. Mark wants to go full up. I think he wants to do it. I think some of the board members are not. They're hearing some things that they don't work too well sometimes.
Right.
So I'll keep you posted on that, though, if I hear any more.
I think RCC had a nightmare with them.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing too.
I think they've calmed down somewhat, but it was bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to do it. It's about a 50-50 toss up.
I understand. Yeah. There was a couple of things I forgot, y'all. Thank you, Butch. I appreciate that update. The Rotary Club is doing a luncheon at the Marshall County Arts Center Wednesday, November 29th, and it's from 11 to 1. They want you to order by Monday, November 27th at 11 or anytime. They're going to have barbecue from Magic Valley, baked beans, chips, and dessert, and the price is $10. And then we received a card that Mayor Rita Dodson and council members, thank you for allowing us to use the stage and close the street for our Riverfest event, and that's from Riverwoods Church next door. It was a success, and you were a part. We want to continue touching our community in the future. Blessings, Riverwoods Church. Don't mind read that. Okay, council items, Charlie.
I can't think of any. I think I've done mine.
Okay.
All right.
I'd like to thank whoever's up at the League of Cities and Beth and y'all for bringing me this back. I was supposed to go up there and get it in person and didn't ship them. But it's what it is. It's a level one training certificate.
Yeah, and we're proud of you. The more education you can get in city government,
I just wanted you to thank
better you are.
Thank the people responsible for me for sending it.
There's just something I'd like for everybody to think about. It's not anything we have to decide tonight, but I know that one thing that the community really appreciates when different councilmen are involved with their clubs, their charities, or whatever. And I know this is done in the business world a lot, and I just want to run it. It's a thought to run across. It's not mandatory. Nobody's mandatory. But I would like to see each councilman to maybe pick out either a charity or a club. We've got a lot of clubs, you know, the Kiwanis, a lot of
Rotary.
Rotary, the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. Even the Chamber, the Tourism, mm-hmm. and join. And most of them do have a fee. It might be $50 a year, it might be $100 a year. And I'd like for the city to consider if a councilman wanted to join one of these clubs as the representative, you know, for the city and all, that the city would pay for their annual fee, whichever, whatever, maybe $75 or whatever. But that's something I'd like to see maybe go into effect in January, because a lot of their dues are starting January for the calendar year.
Okay.
And to make... It's strictly volunteer. Nobody's mandated to have representation of the city and a lot of our different charities and clubs in the county. So that's just a thought.
What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Unless that be considered some kind of pay, I don't know if that would be legal to pay somebody's fees or not.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, from the city of Benton is a member of Chamber of Commerce, and the city's allowed to come and send a representative. I think three out of four local governments are members there, and then Josh Dubs comes sometimes just as a kind of on behalf of the county, but kind of on behalf of economic development. So as far as if the city wanted to join, then I think that, you know, you could be the city's appointee or designated representative or liaison or whatever you want to call it for those types of clubs. But I'm not sure about individual membership dues and things like that.
It'd be something to look into, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't care about
it. I will.
Then we can maybe talk about that again in the December meeting. Anything else for you?
No.
Sheriff?
Only that Harry is having surgery.
Yes.
The 1st of December, yes. And it's quite serious.
Yes, it's very serious. Just ask for lots of prayers for Harry, from everybody, please. He has been diagnosed with cancer, and they're doing surgery December the 1st to try to take out the tumor.
If it was cancer, I heard one person say maybe it wasn't.
Yes, it
was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll be able to remove the tumor and do some treatments and he can carry on. So
what day is it?
December 1st. Mm-hmm.
At 8:30 is when that's our meetings at 8:30. Harry's surgery's in Nashville, though.
I think it's 9 or 9:30, though.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 9 or 9:30. Anything else, Mike? Is there anything you'd like to add?
Huh?
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just like to say I'd like to thank the mayor for giving me the opportunity to work for y'all, and the city council and the city of Benton for believing in me and allowing me to serve you. Like I said, I've got 42 years experience, 30 years with the highway department, an engineering firm, and 12 years at an independent firm, and I did everything you all do. I mean, I won't go into detail more on that, but I'd like to say that my goal will be not just to maintain and go on. My goal is to make it better, improve, design more, and to go way under budget. That's my goal, is to make it the best I can be. So I just want to thank you all. I'll get to know you more later on, and have a good evening, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. We're going to have to go into executive session and discuss some litigation. If I could get a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second.
Is there anything that you all would like to ask before we go into executive session?
I bet they're glad that badge is.
Were y'all too bored? Were you bored? Did we make you sleepy? No? Well, we should thank you for attending. We're honored that you came and was with us tonight and wanted to learn a little bit about government.
We appreciate all of this.
Thank you. They really know it. Okay.
Hey, Mayor, we're going to do the shop the cop December 15th. If anybody knows of any kids that are in need, don't have anything or in trouble, you know, home or something like that, if y'all let us know, so we can get them on our list and we'll look into it and see if there's something we can help them out.
What's the age group?
I've got 9 grandkids.
Yeah, I've got some kids. I try to get them in every year. They won't say that. I think there is. I'll have to talk to Stephen Sanderson. He's the one that puts it all together. But we take donations. I think we've got a pretty good stockpile of money to take care of them. And we take them shopping. They have a great time. They get to pick up their own presents and stuff. And then we end up taking them out to eat pizza afterwards. So it's really good for them. So it's going to be December the 15th. So if you want to give or give us a kid, nominate somebody or something like that, we'll check in.
Okay. Do you talk with the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you talk with the school system or anything?
DCBS and the school. We're in touch with a lot of them. There's a lot of people that know someone that is still not in the system somehow.
Right.
So if you know anybody or not,
then
just let us know.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great thing. Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.